broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This is the broadcast for March 17th in the year of our Lord 2020. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. And man, you know, we've covered the coronavirus day after day after day after day, and I'm sure we're going to have to continue to do so. We'll get into the details in just a second, but I want to say, you know, in the past, I've really kind of let experts talk. I've really kind of let headlines shout. I've really tried to focus on the balance between too much tyranny, which we reject, and, you know, how do you balance that freedom versus necessity versus what does government have the right to do and what do they not have the right to do? And, you know, there's the ideal, constitutionally speaking, and then there's the real, which means, you know what, what are they going to really do and how do we really balance all that and what's realistic and how do you manage expectations? And we go on and on and on. I'm going to take off the gloves today, and I'm going to tell you my opinions in greater detail. And I've kind of held off on that. You know where I stand on the proper role of constitutional government, and you know I try to teach to the ideal, even though we live and deal with the real quite often. But I'm going to take off the gloves a little bit in terms of my recommendations. And the reason I haven't done it to date is because, you know what, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a virus expert or a pandemic response expert or any of these things. So I've kind of let other people talk, and I've let the headlines kind of speak for themselves, and I've kind of taken the position of a simple commentator. Provided appropriate suggestions and recommendations on occasion. I told you when I thought they're being a little overboard and too tyrannical. But I'm going to take off the gloves today and really tell you my thoughts and opinions on this. Because you know what? I can hold off and be polite and let the experts speak a little bit. But at some point, the average Joe, which would be me, thank you very much, the average Sam would have the ability to kind of share their own thoughts and not be absolutely barbecued for it. Now, I know I will get barbecued for it because that's how the mainstream works, right? They'll do a drive-by shooting on me, to borrow a phrase from Rush, but you know what? I don't care. I'm going to speak out nobly, boldly, and independently, and I have an opinion, which I'm entitled to just like every American. The problem is these days, will they arrest me for that view, for that opinion? Will I be allowed to say those things? That's the big question. Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. just got censored on Twitter. Now, he can't say what he thinks, so, you know, there you go. All right, I'll recap of yesterday really quick. We had a two-hour guest on Dr. Scott Bradley, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com. And the question that everybody's asking is, martial law coming? How much of a lockdown will we see, et cetera, et cetera? And I say this, is God's law coming? And God's law will bless us if we obey it. And it will be a cursing to us, if you will, a loss of blessings if we don't obey God's law. So I'm a whole lot more concerned about God's law than I am martial law. Although, as you know, I reject martial law. It flies in the face of the supreme law of the land. Donald Trump says, stop hoarding food. You know what? Relax. There's plenty. And believe it or not, I agree with the president on this. We do need to relax. We can create a self-fulfilling prophecy if we're not very careful. All right. The CDC saying, you know what? There should be no events in America with 50 people or more. That guidance has been updated. I'll give you the details in a second. Establishments can stay open for carry out and delivery. What we can't have is people conjugating and sitting together. But you can go for takeout food, but restaurants are being pushed to close for their sit-down and dine options. VP Mike Pence said, the White House Coronavirus Task Force will be announcing more details. That was yesterday, coming up, and they did yesterday. I'll give you the details on that as well. Dr. Anthony Fauci, or Fauci, however you say the guy's name, he said the guidance that they're going to give will resemble what's going on in other countries. I'm glad Fauci did not get his way and Donald Trump prevailed on this. I'll get into the details there as well, but man, Fauci's like a tyrannical thug. Donald Trump not listening to Fauci completely, and that's good news. Dr. William Schaffner, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, says 80%+ of the people who contract the coronavirus will have moderate or mild symptoms, such as fever, cough, and shortness of breath. Mild symptoms for most. Folks, I'm going to just tell you right now, this isn't as bad as they're claiming it to be. Now, is the spread of the virus as bad? Yes. I bet almost everybody will end up getting it, or believe it or not, has already had it. But most people aren't going to have a problem at all. Believe it or not, the thug Andrew Cuomo, that's the New York governor, assumed the wave breaks at a higher level than the hospital system can accommodate. He says, I think that's what's going to happen. I agree, in massive cities, that could happen. Maybe people ought to consider not living in massive cities. But I digress. Creating our own crisis, writes my buddy Robert W. Peck, a Constitution Party leader. You know what? Letting fear drive us to panic. Purchasing is not the solution, it's the problem. He's right on that. Right as rain, the Federal Reserve slashed interest rates. They cut it to 0 to 0.25%. The bottom line is the Fed fired all their shots and literally failed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 3,000 points. We're about, what, 25 to 30% down, they claim. I don't think we need to be worried too much about the stock market, folks. I'll get into that, too, as the broadcast unfolds. We also talked about interest in homeschooling grows as schools close. Millions are being introduced to educational alternatives. I think that's fantastic news. The EU disapproves. They're mad at Donald Trump for moving ahead with his virus recommendations without their, quote, approval. You know, firing a shot against global government, which I think is a good news piece. Wuhan officials deliver emergency pork in a garbage truck. They had to recall it all. That's what you get from these tyrannical countries when you depend on the government for food, huh? Coronavirus prompts rival gangs of monkeys to fight for limited tourist food. It'll get worse for the monkey as there's no tourists. Trump says Pelosi's coronavirus bill stuffed with unrelated goodies for Democrats. That's what they've always done, Donald. This is no different. Why don't you push for them to have a single item bill? And then everybody should vote on it based on its constitutionality. A single subject bill, right? And it should be based on its constitutionality. If it's not constitutional, don't pass it. Don't fund it. Reject it. That would be my recommendation. A huge number of Americans say, quote, bread lines in the U.S. could happen. Well, folks, if you get a little bit of flour and if you know how to make bread, that shouldn't happen. And yes, things could go bad, but how much of it's going to go bad based on the reality of a virus or an illness versus how much of it would go bad if we would take matters into our own hands as Americans, become self-reliant, learn to make bread. Don't panic and make it worse and create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Learn to care for your neighbor as yourself. Follow the great commandments of the Almighty God. That's where it starts, folks. You're not going to do great by hoarding and, okay? Now, where's the line of hoarding versus preparedness? Well, when you panic and you take all your money out of the bank, and you panic and you spend a ton of money at the store to get way more than you need, you're hoarding and melting down. When you slowly but consistently and methodically prepare over time, you're doing a great job. If you had 3 loaves of bread, would you hoard them and keep them yourself and fight off your neighbor hostily? Or would you share your bread with your neighbors? What would you do, folks? See, it all depends on how you're going to behave. Shopify doing a great job of voluntarily giving their employees $1,000 to build home offices. I think that's a great news and a great start piece. Doesn't even require any government involvement, does it? Ability to work from home and the ability to build a home office. And wow, what a great opportunity, huh? The environmentalists should be jumping up and down with joy, saying the streets will have less toxins spewed every day as people go to and from work. Where's the shout out from the, quote, environmental media? Where's Ocasio-Cortez, environmental wacko, standing up for Shopify right now, huh? Italians must fill out paperwork to buy groceries or to visit hospitals. See, this is the tyrannical thugocracy that we see around the world. And Mr. Anthony Fauci or whatever his name is, this guy's saying we want to look at what the world's doing as a playbook for what we should do in America. Has he lost his marbles? Trump should fire this goon ASAP. White House report, Nancy Pelosi, I guess she's pressing hard to put taxpayer funding of abortions in the coronavirus stimulus. Donald Trump blocking it. They say he's quarantined the funds. Well, I pray that's true. But again, somebody ought to impeach Nancy over this. We've got a national crisis on our hands and she's playing politics with her pro-death agenda. Expose that. Remove her from office for this tyrannical behavior, folks. We're finding out who's who in a hurry, aren't we? Super rich turned to bunkers for, quote, self-quarantine among the coronavirus outbreak. Well, the rich can get bunkers, but you know what? I don't think bunkers is the answer either. Isolation, I don't believe, is the answer. We're going to drill into this today in big time detail. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to hear a lot more of what I think. I've been pretty holding back quite a bit. No, I've said when I thought we're going too much towards government, and I've given a few opinions, and I've given a few suggestions about turning to God and, you know, getting outside in a fresh air and, you know, eating healthy and getting enough sleep. And, you know, I've talked about that, but I'm going to take off the gloves here in a bit. We'll talk about this in detail of what I really think. Well, Anthony Fauci, what, he's in the Trump administration, right? He's supposedly this rock crack scientist, doctor that knows it all and everything else. I think the guy's a tyrannical thug. I think he's moving against the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. I think Trump should fire this guy ASAP. All right, Ron Paul recorded a little briefing, an update on this Fauci thug and on how they're taking too much liberty to violate the Constitution and our rights over this. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Ron Paul will break it down in seconds, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Yeah, buddy, live it on your radio, breaking it down like nobody's business. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, news the networks refuse to use, no doubt. Starts now. All right, so Ron Paul chimes in, and he breaks this down, really talking about this Anthony Fauci, whatever his name is. This guy's a thug, and they're literally pushing hard to destroy our liberties, ladies and gentlemen, over this. This is the problem that I have. We better take off the gloves and start to deal with these thugs seriously. In the name of crisis, we give them a serious pass, like, oh, they're just looking out for us. But you know what? They're taking advantage of this crisis. Listen up.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, March 16th. Governments love crises because when the people are fearful, they are more willing to give up freedoms for promises that the government will take care of them. After 9/11, for example, Americans accepted the near total destruction of their civil liberties in the Patriot Act following promises of security. It's ironic to see the same Democrats who tried to impeach the president last month for abuse of power, demanding that the administration grab more power and authority in the name of fighting a virus that thus far has killed less than 100 Americans. State and local authoritarians love panics as well. The mayor of Champaign, Illinois, signed an executive order declaring the power to ban the sale of guns and alcohol and cut off gas, water, or electricity to any citizen. The governor of Ohio just essentially closed the entire state. The chief fearmonger of the Trump administration is without a doubt Anthony Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institute of Health. Fauci is all over the media, serving up outright falsehoods to stir up even more panic. He testified to Congress that the death rate for the coronavirus is 10 times that of the seasonal flu, a claim without any scientific basis. On Face the Nation, Fauci did his best to further damage an already tanking economy by stating, "Right now, personally, myself, I wouldn't go to a restaurant." He has pushed for closing the entire country down for 14 days. Over what? A virus that has thus far killed just over 5,000 worldwide and less than 100 in the United States. By contrast, tuberculosis, an old disease not much discussed these days, killed nearly 1.6 million people in 2017 in the United States. Where's the panic over this? If anything, what people like Fauci and the other fearmongers are demanding will likely make the disease worse. The martial law they dream about will leave people hunkered down inside their homes instead of going outdoors or to the beach where the sunshine and fresh air would help boost immunity. The panic produced by these fearmongers is likely helping spread the disease as massive crowds rush into Walmart and Costco for that last roll of toilet paper. The madness over the coronavirus is not limited to politicians and the medical community. The head of the neoconservative Atlantic Council wrote an editorial this week urging NATO to pass an Article 5 declaration of war against the virus. Are they going to send in tanks and drones to wipe out these microscopic enemies? People should ask themselves whether this coronavirus pandemic could be a big hoax, with the actual danger of the disease massively exaggerated by those who seek profit, financially or politically, from the ensuing panic. That is not to say that the disease is harmless. Without question, people will die from coronavirus. Those in vulnerable categories should take precaution to limit their risk of exposure. But we have seen this movie before. Government overhypes a threat as an excuse to grab more of our freedoms. When the threat is over, however, they never give us our freedoms back. Thanks for calling this update.
Now, I think that's the salient point of Ron Paul's update. Look, these people take away freedom big time. And when the threat's over, they don't give back that freedom. So I'm going to be very blunt and very bold, and I'm sure I'm going to get attacked for my views here. And I want to commend Donald Trump because he's going against Fauci's recommendations to some degree. Donald Trump, quote, no nationwide quarantine. The coronavirus could last until July or August. So there's a couple of points here. Number one, I want to commend Donald Trump for not locking us down hard, like many nations have done. And I want to commend President Trump for taking a softer approach. Here's the problem that President Trump's in, or the difficulty that he faces. If he's too soft, they claim he's part of the problem and everybody's going to die and it's his fault. If he cracks down hard enough, the Democrats are happy. The people who want tyranny are happy. But yet guys like me will attack the president for taking away too many liberties. President Trump is in a serious hot spot on this. He's in the hot seat, and there's no good answers for him because the people are not educated enough to defend liberty. Okay? Statements like Ron Paul made and statements like I'm about to make, you know what? They're going to attack us for just being soft on the virus. But here's the deal, folks. Here's the blatant deal. The White House Task Force, you know, this is where this Anthony Fauci guy is in charge a lot, right? Avoid gatherings of more than 10 people. Elderly should stay home. President Donald Trump announced four specific guidelines to be followed by all Americans for the next 15 days. Now, I don't know what a guideline means. I don't know if that's a mandate. I don't know if that means it's a suggestion. What's a guideline? And what's happening is we're seeing the federal government set guidelines, and then we're seeing states mandate the guidelines. So who do you blame, Donald or the governor of Utah, or Donald or the governor of your state, or whatever, right? Donald says, hey, you know, not more than 10 people can gather, and then the state enforces that. Who's the tyrannical one? Fauci, who came up with the rules, Donald, because he announced these guidelines, not pushing to make it a hard, fast rule, but the governors or whatever states locking people down? It's hard to know who's to blame, and they're doing this on purpose. But here's the four suggestions Donald came up with. School-age Americans should study from home. All Americans should avoid groups of 10 or more people. All Americans should avoid what's called discretionary travel. All Americans should avoid eating in public restaurants, bars, or food courts. Now, those are the four recommendations. Now, I get the general guidelines, the idea, and I don't mind the government having recommendations about what they, you know, think should happen. The problem becomes, when do we take further action? If Americans don't obey these four guidelines over the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, are they going to then mandate them? All right? So there's serious, serious issues here. Now, here's what I find fascinating. They literally say 80%+ of the people have mild symptoms and can handle it just fine. About 15% get very sick. Out of that, 5% go to the hospital, and 1% die. And that 1% that die is a number that Anthony Fauci and others came up with no scientific evidence or backing for their claim. Now, it's estimated that it's quite a bit higher than the flu, but we don't have any evidence of that. You'd say, well, wait a minute, Sam, we have well more than 100,000 people, and we got about 5,000 people, well more than 100,000 people that have caught the disease worldwide, and, you know, 5,000 people have died from this. And so, you know, that's a, wow, 1% is way lower than that too, Sam. They're being very conservative. My response is, I don't believe that's true at all. We don't know how many have died, and we don't know how many actually have the disease at all. We don't have any idea about that, folks. We don't have any idea how many people have the disease. Okay. How many people have died in the United States? Less than 100. Well, you can't compare that to the population, because that assumes everybody's got it. But you also can't compare it to the number of people that have been tested, because that doesn't determine how many people have it. See, these are unknown numbers at this point, ladies and gentlemen. And I've kind of held off a little bit because I don't want to challenge the scientific numbers of, quote, medical professionals and or mathematicians. I'm neither of the two. But I can come back and unequivocally make a point. Now, I've reached out to a guy in Utah. His name is Spencer Cox. He's the lieutenant governor. He's running for governor. And I reached out to his campaign over the weekend. And then they got back to me yesterday and said, oh, this is not a campaign issue. Got to go through his office, because it's, you know, not a campaign discussion. And so then I went through the office, and then they said they'd look at his calendar and get back to me, and hopefully we'll get him on the radio with us. But what I'm trying to get is details and numbers to kind of put things in perspective for folks. Now let's use Utah as a simple case study. Okay, Salt Lake County in Utah, one of 29 counties, that's the biggest county, declares, quote, public health emergency, suspends dine-in services. Just imagine a tyrannical act like that. I mean, it's pretty in your face and pretty bold. Now, listen carefully. Utah's confirmed coronavirus or COVID-19 cases rise to 39. So listen carefully. We only have 39 cases or confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Utah. Now, listen carefully. They say even when they test you and find you positive, they say most people with symptoms are advised to stay home because their immune systems can fight off the disease. Believe it or not, in all, it's only 29 Utah residents that have tested positive. The other 10 are from people that are out of state. Yeah, other 10 were travelers to the state. So we're talking 29 to 39 people infected in Utah. That's a total number. Hold on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As Americans are bombarded with information concerning the coronavirus outbreak, some sobering news from President Trump. Here's correspondent Robin Walensky.
President Trump says it could be July or August before the corona pandemic washes through the country. The president calling the virus an invisible enemy, which requires new guidelines to fight. Across the country, schools, restaurants, bars, and gyms closing as a precaution.
Despite the virus, more votes will be cast today for the Democratic presidential nomination in some states. Voters will head to the polls in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona. Ohio is scheduled to have a primary today as well, but state officials have ordered polling locations there to be closed because of the virus. And this is USA Radio News.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they could help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
More now on the coronavirus as Canada's closing its borders to most non-citizens because of it. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says there will be some exceptions made for U.S. citizens.
As the virus continues its spread, we've decided to take increasingly aggressive steps to keep you and your family safe.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul wants tax day to be delayed by 3 months because of the coronavirus outbreak. The Kentucky Republican tweeting yesterday that he wants people to be able to file their taxes by July 15th instead of the current April 15th deadline, and he wants late payment interest and fees waived. Former Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum says he's withdrawing from public life for a while as he enters rehab for alcoholism, announcing it after police recently found him in a Miami hotel room intoxicated with a male escort who is suspected of having overdosed on meth. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, so I want to be deadly clear here. Pardon the pun. I want to be very serious and very clear. Listen to me carefully. The numbers they're spewing are bogus, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. Let's take the state of Utah, for example. What, Kurt, is there 3.2 million people in Utah, buddy?
Somewhere around there.
All right. And you know what? I got a question for you. How many people have been tested in Utah for the coronavirus? Do you know?
No, I don't.
You want to guess?
I'll guess 1,000.
700. They say just over 700 have been tested for the virus. Now, what percent is 700 of 3.2 million, buddy?
It's a small percentage.
That's helpful, Kurt. Just so you know, I'll help Kurt with the math a little bit. If you have 3.2 million, 320,000 is 10%. 32,000 is 1%, right, Kurt?
That sounds right.
All right, so what percent are we talking about then? I mean, it's not even 0.1% tested, right?
Correct.
In fact, it's like 1/30th of 1% tested or something. What is 700 to 3.2 million? What percent are we talking about here? I mean, it is a tiny number. Now, out of the 700 that have been tested, Kurt, how many have turned up positive, my friend?
Well, you said it was 39
yes.
total, so you had, and you have 10 foreigners, I guess you call them.
Yeah, out-of-staters, I might say.
Right.
And the 10 out-of-staters are you know, self-quarantining in place or whatever, so they don't spread it and travel and everything, which is fine. But you're talking about 29 natives, to you, or, you know, people who live here. You got 10 that don't even, you know, live here. So 39 total. What percent is 39 of 3.2 million? Who knows? knows? We're talking, what, 1/100th of 1%? I don't even know. I mean, it's harder to do the math on this stuff. If you make a mistake on the math, then the whole nation will mock you till the cows come home, right? You saw that news story where some guy, you know, misplaced a zero or whatever and got all confused and they mocked the heck out of him. Okay, so don't make mistakes live on the air with your math, buddy. Okay, this is the criticism that's just unfair. You're under the gun, you're trying to do something live and you make a mistake. And anyway, all I'm telling you is it's a tiny percent. Now, Kurt, how many of those 39 people will die and how many will live?
I'm thinking about 10 deaths, maybe.
Okay, 80%, Kurt, they claim, just so you know, have mild symptoms when they get the disease. This isn't 80% of the people are fine. This is 80% of the people that get the disease. They claim, this is their numbers now, you know what, have mild symptoms. What's 80% of 39? Just make it 40 to make the numbers simple, okay? Then, you know, guys like me that aren't very smart can figure it out.
Or no, 80% would be...
32 of them, buddy.
Yeah, 32.
Are fine.
Out of there.
Now you got 8 people. And out of those 8 people, they say they get very sick.
Yeah, that's right, 8.
Yeah. Okay, and they say that about 5% of that die. That's their numbers or whatever, that, you know, get very sick and have to have ventilators or maybe die or whatever else. But remember, they then also said it's 10 times worse than the flu. The flu is 0.1% death rate, Kurt. So even if we say the 1% death rate they're talking about, what's 1% of 39, my friend?
3.9.
No, that's 10%, buddy.
10.7. Okay, 1% of 39.
Yeah, just say 40 to make it easy.
10%.
4 is 10%, buddy.
Yeah.
So the point is you might have one die or you might not. You got a half a person we're talking about. So how long has this coronavirus been in play, Kurt? Since when? Let's debate this for a second. Since when?
Well, when you had it or when?
Well, I don't know. See, I don't know if I had it for sure, but there's a very good possibility. Now they'd say, there's no way, Sam. You were talking about having that, being really sick in the beginning of January. You know, it was in China at the, you know, middle of December. There's no way it came to you that fast. My response is, we don't even know the origins of it, folks. They're blaming it on China. China is blaming it on the U.S., but I don't know the origins. I don't even know when this thing started. But if you accept their timeline, what, Kurt? This has been around since when? I don't know. January, February, March, there.
You mean
December?
The president issued a deal just in early January, I think he did.
All right, fine. So let's start then. We'll just use that number, okay? So it's been around for what, 60 days?
All right.
And they only have 700 people tested in Utah? They got like less than 1/10 of 1% of the people tested?
I think they had a hard time figuring out how to test them.
Well, and then now we're supposed to trust the test because they got it right for sure?
Well, of course. Yeah.
The first round of tests were bogus and failed, and they got the second round, and they're confident that's right. So we don't even know that the 40 people that were tested, that the numbers are accurate in terms of the 700. So they tested 700, Kurt. But they didn't even have 10% come back positive. 90% of the tests plus 95% were negative, right? What's 700 tests and 40 people positive, just say? 5%? Little over. 70 is 10% of 700, and so 40 is just over 5%. So they literally tested 700 people, and most people didn't even have it. Okay, and so you got this situation, and they're saying they're going to lock down society, buddy. They're going to literally tank the economy, put everybody in panic, make runs on the stores. This is getting out of control. Big time. All right? They say the United States is testing the first trial of the coronavirus vaccine developed in, quote, record time. They now gave 3 people the jab and they hope it goes well. Kurt, how do you know if it goes well? Let's say that you're a healthy person and they go ahead and bust out and give you the jab because you volunteer, buddy. How do they know it's going to work, Kurt, or not? Help me with this. I'm kind of not very smart.
The same way they know it. The flu virus or flu vaccine is always the right one.
Sam, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. How do you know it's going to work? They've got 3 people that are being tested with this virus, Kurt. An early rush to the market, you know.
You have to have faith, Sam.
Wait a minute. 3 people. How are you going to know? They're all healthy right now, Kurt. Do we just decide if they come down with the virus, then it didn't work?
If they tell you, it's good for you. You just have to believe them.
Wait a minute. I'm saying to you that, I don't even know how they can know with a test of three. I mean, I guess they could say at least it didn't kill all three of them. They could know that, maybe. They could say, hey, you know what? You took the jab, and 6 months later, you're not dead. Dead as a doornail from the toxins we injected into your veins. They might know that part. Right? But here's what's interesting in the mainstream press article that I read on this, Kurt. Listen carefully to the phrasing. They're trying to build confidence in this coronavirus vaccine, okay? But here's what they say. Remember how I've been mentioning on the radio that one of the ways you catch them at their lies is they inadvertently make mistakes in their reporting and tell you things that they didn't really mean to tell you. They shouldn't have told you, okay? Because the truth comes out. So they're trying to, build your confidence that you should take soon, 12 to 18 months when it comes out there, Kurt, if everything goes successful there, buddy, you should take the Corona vaccine coming up, right? So they're trying to build your confidence in it. And here's what they say in the article. Listen carefully to my words, and then let me see your reaction. Unlike most vaccines, this one does not contain a weakened version of the virus that it seeks to counteract. Therefore, Kurt, don't worry, my friend, there's no chance exists that its recipients can get sick, according to, listen, the Associated Press. Now, that's the trustworthy news service there, buddy, AP. So listen, don't worry about this vaccine, Kurt. There's three people taking the jab. We're going to, get this thing rolling. And don't worry, unlike most vaccines, this one does not contain a weakened version of the virus. Therefore, no chance of anybody getting sick, buddy. Now, what have they just done in this news piece? This is mainstream Associated Press reporting, Kurt. They didn't mean to say this, I don't think. They're so desirous to protect and make you believe this coronavirus vaccine is going to be safe and effective already that they really, in my opinion, what do they do, Kurt?
Well, if you read it properly, at least in my opinion, you just see the bogusness. I don't know if that's a word.
It's a word now, buddy, because we get it.
Disease and standard systems, just like you point out about the vaccines that they do now, and they have those massive government payouts to people that are quote vaccine damaged, that
injured,
they say there's no chance of that because they're all safe and effective.
So let me say this right then. So Kurt, I'm going to tell you that vaccines are safe and effective, and how dare you contradict me on this. And then I'm going to come out and tell you how safe and effective the Corona vaccine is. Don't worry, it's unlike most vaccines, this one doesn't contain a little bit of the virus that gets people sick, so there's no chance of you getting sick. What have I really said? I've said that all the other vaccines have some of the virus, and the chance, the potential for you to get sick is there. Not so with the coronavirus, though. Isn't that what they really said?
That's what they said.
And so I'm going, wait a minute, they inadvertently pulled the lie out and told it to you blatantly. Hey, vaccines aren't safe and effective. They contain a little bit of the virus that gets people sick, and there's a great chance that you can get sick. No chance like that with this here virus vaccine, buddy. You're all safe and effective. Okay, these people are crazy. We have got to stop the lockdowns and the tyrannical behavior going on. San Francisco just flat out shut the whole city down. Wow, hang tight.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, they're getting tyrannical, and it's got to stop. Literally, all the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints missionaries are leaving the Philippines because they're closing the borders and melting down over there. All right, this is getting crazy. San Francisco, literally a ghost town now, folks. Now, listen to this. Since the virus began spreading, remember how I said I don't know what the date of that really is, but since the virus began spreading, they say in China, it has infected at least 160,000 people. That's worldwide, Kurt, resulting in about 6,500 deaths. That's according to the CDC news, okay? Now, let's talk about this a little bit. What percent of those are in the United States, Kurt? Do you know?
Nope.
They say over 3,700 of these cases have occurred within the United States. So that means that to identify that as positives, they've only had 3,700 positives in the whole country, Kurt. Remember, there's only 39 positives in Utah, and 10 of them aren't even Utahns, if you will, right? But 160,000 people, what percent is 3,700 of 160,000, Kurt? Huh? 16,000 is 10%, right?
Yeah.
All right. So 4,000 is 25% of that. You know, we're talking about what, 2.5% or something?
Sounds like it.
Okay. So, you know what? 97% of the world that's infected doesn't even relate to the United States. Now, guess how many people in America have died so far from this, Kurt? You know how many people have died in America?
Close to 39. Let's see. What was it?
39 people were infected in Utah.
I know. But there were 30, maybe close to 70, is it? 70?
71 deaths like from the virus on American soil as of Monday. Okay? Now, help me understand then. If you've tested how many people in America, okay? We don't know. They haven't given us that number yet, right? But we know 3,700 have been positive from the tests. And we know 71 have died, Kurt. What percent is 71 of 3,700?
Well, right? 370 would be 10%.
That's right.
So half of that would be 180.
And 185 there now. That's 5%. That's right.
And then, you know, so it's half of that, about 2.5 or 2.
Okay, like so that. When they tell you that this around the world has been disastrous and over 5% of the people die, that's not what we see in America, Kurt. Not even close. It's half that. And we don't know how many people have the virus, Kurt. We just know that 3,700 people have tested positive. Right? So you're starting to get numbers, is my point, from Utah and the nation that really buck the trend of what they're talking about. Because remember, out of the 2.5%, Kurt, that we're saying have the virus, what percentage are dead? Right? You say, well, 71 have died, Sam. Yeah, but how many of those people are foreigners, Kurt? right? Just like in Utah, 10 out of the 40 or 10 out of the 39 weren't from Utah. So what percent? Okay, so I'm just telling you that we are panicking, shutting down everything, literally destroying the economy. What, the Dow Jones was up to 2,700 plus? I'm sorry, 27,000 plus? Now it's down to what?
I think at the time it went clear up to 29,000.
Okay, 29,000. Now what's it at? 20,000?
Now we're about 20,000. Yeah,
19,000? I mean, it's changed, it's dropping so fast, you don't even know. And then they've had to put government controls to prevent it from dropping even. Over and over and over, right? They've triggered the plunge protection team many a times already in the last month or two, right, Kurt?
Oh, yeah, those guys have been working overtime.
So let me get this straight. We're going to destroy the whole economy of the world, especially the economy of the United States. We're literally going to force everyone to stay home, not by force, but by edict, but by, well, I gave guidelines and the states kind of went berserk and cities went crazy. And we're going to just shut down everybody, everything, everywhere because testing was flawed by the government. And now they're, well, they don't have enough tests and they don't really know the repercussions. So they're going to just spew facts out of nowhere and then melt us down. And then Donald Trump saying, hey, you know what? Let me give you four guidelines. Avoid gatherings of more than 10 people. Elderly should stay home. School-age Americans should study from home. All Americans should avoid groups of more than 10 people. Should avoid discretionary travel and shouldn't go to restaurants or food courts or anything like that. And then local municipalities taking it way further and becoming dictators. I mean, the county just north of us, Salt Lake County, literally created a state of emergency, closed all restaurants. And now you're whacked out, Senator Kurt. Senator Mitt Romney is proposing a temporary universal basic income, what they call that, the UBI, in an attempt to help Americans get through the coronavirus. He wants to give $1,000 to every American adult. It'll cost $3.2 billion a year to carry out this, quote, conservative senator's plan. Kurt, I'm telling you right now, they're off their rockers crazy. I mean, this is the most, I have not seen this kind of tyranny in our lives. Now, I got to give President Trump a little bit of credit because he's trying to slow down the tyrannical behavior. But their goal isn't even to prevent people from getting the virus. Kurt, they know people are going to get it. Their goal is to slow it down. They don't want a big spike to overwhelm the hospitals. So what they're trying to do is slow it down to where instead of it being a big spike, it's more of a gentle wave. Over the next couple of months, people can get it and they can manage the amount of people that get it and they can go to the hospitals. But that very effort to slow it down by separating all of us, quote, social distancing to harsher conditions like a flat out isolation and somewhere in between, debating on the place that you live and the detail, okay, and the response of the government bureaucrats. The problem is when they make a wave out of this and they slow it down, what they do is they elongate how long it takes to get through it and over it, which means that a 2-week quarantine won't be, or a 2-week self-isolation or whatever you want to call it, won't be enough. Why? Because it's lasting longer. As they slow it down, it just kind of slowly goes through the population. That might be good for the hospitals. Might be good if we don't have enough hospital beds or enough respirators, but it's disaster in terms of getting over it and through it and getting it behind us. So now Donald Trump is saying, hey, things aren't probably going to get much better till July or August. Kurt, as far as I understand, it's like middle of March right now. April, May, June, July. That's 4 months or 5 months away. Am I mistaken on this? What's going to happen economically if we have 5 months of you shouldn't go to restaurants and you shouldn't have more than 10 people conjugate anywhere and I could go on and on. What's going to be the repercussions of this, Kurt? And I'm telling you, they're remaking America on this so-called crisis, this so-called government worldwide declared pandemic. And I don't even know that we know the numbers yet, Kurt, because we haven't tested enough people. Right? Look, we've tested 700 people in the state of Utah with over 3 million people, and we've only come back with 39 positives. We have tested how many people in the United States? I don't know. I'm waiting for that number. I just seem to look everywhere and I can't find it. But I know this, 3,700 people they claim have the virus. How many of those 3,700 people out of 325 million people are going to die? I don't know the number. And I don't want you to think that I think this is not an important issue. I think this is a serious issue. But I think we are adding insult to injury over this. And I think we're taking it way too far and being way too tyrannical and way too overreactive on this. Now you say, Sam, isn't it better to be wrong and take the criticism or whatever you want to say? But you know what? What if they're right? What if it's way worse? And you know, what if we don't get ahead of it now? And my response is, how much do you prize the sacred cause of liberty? Let me ask you that question. How much do you prize the sacred cause of liberty? And what are you willing to put on the altar of liberty under the idea that, well, it might be worse than we thought, we're not sure, but we're not going to take any chances idea? Because as Ron Paul said, as I played at the start of the broadcast, you know what? They don't give your liberties back once they take them away. Once the crisis is averted, they don't go, by golly, we're giving you your freedom back. Remember, the IRS was created in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, but it wasn't cranked up until World War II. They said, we got to have a tax for World War II. Ladies and gentlemen, that was in the 1930s and 40s, Kurt, and it's still here today, 80 years later, buddy.
It's true, but one thing that kind of goes against that is we've seen, for every rule that has been put in place in this administration, there's been 8.5 that have been gotten rid of. So there's a little bit going against that grain, Sam.
Well, so you've got one guy out of the last 100 years that has done that for 3 years, Kurt. So a little less than 3% of the example is by one person doing a good job. And your point's well taken, but it's like throwing a pebble in the pond. The ripples are great, but it won't be long till the waters calm again. So what I'm saying is I appreciate that, and you're right, Kurt, but in the scheme of things, it's not true. By and large, and you're right, George Washington had a chance to be a complete tyrant and did not do it. So there's examples to your point, and they're good ones, to be sure, but they're far from the norm and the reality. So I wouldn't give away my liberties on the hope that Donald is going to get rid of, bring them back for you tomorrow. Would you count on that, Kurt?
Doesn't sound like a good plan.
So your point's well taken, and I don't want to overlook that point, but I want to put it in the real perspective that, you know what, Donald's had a hard time doing what he's even done to date, and I commend him for doing it. But man, has he fought a battle to get it done, right? Man, has he been drugged through the mud, drugged through the swamp, whatever word you want to use for this. But I agree that you know what, once in a while you get a good person that reverses the trend. George Washington did it. He said, I'm not going to be a king. This is a free country, and I believe in that. Hey, he rolled back a ton of tyranny that was being proposed. So did Donald Trump. When you get rid of several regulations for every new one put in place, it's a great effort. I don't mean to in any way minimize that effort, but I'm telling you, it's a drop in the bucket. And when it comes to the IRS, the 80-year example that I gave you that's been in place for 80 years, folks, that was put in place by a lie at Christmas, and then what, 20, 30 years after that, enacted to supposedly deal with the war. Okay, Donald hasn't got to that one yet. So I appreciate him getting rid of some regulations, but let's get rid of the biggest ones. Hey, get rid of the IRS so that none of us have to pay income tax. That might help the economy. But anyway, I digress, except to say, folks, we are losing way too much liberty over this, and we don't even have numbers or facts to back this up. I don't know how many people will die. I do agree that the elderly and the people that are at most risk, we ought to do our very best to quarantine them and to do the proper things that could really help them, one, live, and two, if they should pass away, to make sure that it doesn't spread to other people. But you know what? These reactions are extreme. When we come back next hour, I got another couple of points to make, too. Is it advantageous to slow this virus down, as they're proposing? They're not even proposing that you don't get the virus. They can't stop it, and they admit that. What they're hoping to do is not have a wave to hit the hospitals all at once, so they want to slow it down. But there's pros and cons to that action. If you slow it down, then what? You trash the economy? You change the whole nature of our society? Some of the changes may be good. But change by force, does that concern you? Whose plan is that, I might ask? All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt taking off the gloves on your radio. We pray for this nation and declare this nation shall endure.